the UN will not act on U.S. efforts to snap back Iran sanctions, citing opposition from UN Security Council despots and cowards. An American delegation led by Jared Kushner set to make historic first flight from Israel to UAE. Trump gets a huge approval rating convention bounce in the polls, and you can include minorities among that. Plus, we hit some world headlines, and it's Wisdom Wednesday, courtesy of Thomas Jefferson's great concern over the judiciary gaining too much power. Welcome to today's edition of World News Brief by CGM Radio.
I'm going to invite you to join your faith with mine, and let's pray in agreement. Lord, we come before you to ask for your spirit of peace to come over hurting communities in Wisconsin tonight. We pray for healing and comfort to Jacob Blake and his family. We pray for your protection over those who put their lives in harm's way to bring safety and security to our streets. We pray that the truth and justice will be at the heart of all decisions that are made by our leaders, and that we as a people will seek reconciliation with you as we do the same with each other. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness over our lives, for your blessing over our nation, for your guiding hand over every person that calls the United States of America their home. Lord, we thank you for all that have gone before us and have sowed seeds of sacrifice for our freedom, for our prosperity, and for our peace. Those that gave their lives so that we could live and achieve the American dream. Your word declares in 2 Corinthians, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. This country was founded by the people for their God. Liberty, freedom, equality, it's what we want in our country. Lord, we invite you into our homes, into our lives. Give us revelation that will overthrow any enemies that stand against us so that we will be victorious in this next season. We need you. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
I don't know about you, but after I heard this prayer, I said to myself, I said out loud, and with those who were with me as we were watching this, I said, Trump is going to win. Reason I said that is because I don't know about you, but I was spellbound during this prayer, and I felt the Spirit of God during this prayer. And I was not expecting that. It was not confirmation bias. I don't think it was any psychological trick. I was not expecting that. I do not trust people generally who get on TV of any sort, who are high up ministers and expect anything good from them. I don't. I think a lot of us are jaded, and for a lot of good reasons, because a lot of those people are crooks and criminals. I don't know who the lady is that opened up RNC in prayer for night two, but I am telling you, there is something in the spirit that was going on there. And there is now no doubt in my mind, no doubt in my mind that President Donald Trump is going to win this election. God is with him. God is behind him. God is for him, and for whatever reason, for his own purposes that are mysterious to me. But after I heard that prayer, and I was spellbound, and I was stuck to my chair, and I just sensed the Holy Spirit through the TV into the room, and his presence alive, there's no doubt in my mind, Donald Trump is going to win the presidency. God is with him, and everything is set up for that to happen, I believe. And I wasn't going to lead off with this story, but I came to that conclusion before I saw this. I'll go ahead and lead off with it. Trump pops to 52%. best job approval rating on record, up with blacks, even Democrats. This is from the Washington Examiner. By the way, welcome to today's edition of World News Brief by CGM Radio. It is August 26, 2020, and Kenosha, Wisconsin is going crazy with riots and burnings over that very, very sad Jacob Blake situation, as was mentioned in the opening prayer. Pray for that family. Pray for Kenosha. There are going to be so many things, so many ideas. It's mainly those on the right, I think, that are saying, hey, let's hold back. Let's let the facts come in and see what happens. I'm not rushing to any judgment on it, and I haven't investigated it like I could. There's probably more I could investigate than I already have seen or read. But either way, the family's experiencing great loss, and now the city is experiencing great loss. So much tragedy. Pray for Kenosha, as well as all the other cities that are experiencing the rioting and the looting and the murder from Antifa and Black Lives Matter terrorists. Buoyed by blacks and independent voters, as well as urban dwellers shocked by the Black Lives Matter protest violence raging in some cities, President Trump's approval rating has hit a new high, according to a survey heavy with minority voters. The latest Zogby Analytics poll just shared with Secrets had Trump's approval at 52%. Quote, "The president has recorded his best job approval rating on record," said pollster Jonathan Zogby. "What's more, his approval rating among minorities was solid, and in the case of African Americans, shockingly high." Zogby said 36% of blacks approve of the president, as do 37% of Hispanics and 35% of Asians. Now, if it says, my theory is that if it says 36%, it's probably more like 46%. Again, you're going to have what's called the shy Tory effect, where a lot of people, I would think, especially amongst minority communities, are not going to want to admit it. So if it's that reportedly high, which actually corresponds with the Rasmussen poll at the end of July that showed Trump at about a 43% either approve or strongly approve of the president's job performance. This is fantastic news for the country. The country. And it's going to be the minorities, quote minorities. I love the one man who spoke at his city council who said, I don't know if you remember this, he was talking about guns and having to give up his guns. He says, this is a black man, I am a law-abiding citizen. I am in the majority. If you are an American citizen, you are in the majority. Plain and simple. I don't like the terms minority. I don't like, you know, divvying everything up by skin color. Look, even amongst the Caucasian, quote, race, you've got a bunch of different ethnicities, shades of skin, color of hair, eye color, and all that. And so, I mean, you could literally take people with Irish descent and call them minorities. I really hate that we relegate people of certain skin colors to minority status, but such is the world we live in. Approval among independent voters is also up to 44%, and, quote, intriguingly, said Zogby, 23% of Democrats approve of Trump. Again, we could see an 84 Reagan-Mondale repeat here. I don't think Trump's going to win 49 states, but this is looking very good for the president. But also note, there's going to be more stuff that comes up between now and then. There's going to be more insanity. The election's not over. 2020's not over. Expect more. Hang tight. You want to know how to stay sane in an election year? Yesterday's show, episode 22, I share my top 5 ways to stay sane in an election year. So go to cgmradio.com/world or just search World News CGM in your favorite podcasting app and you can subscribe there. But be sure to check out yesterday's show, my top 5 ways to stay sane during an election year. It's probably in some ways not what you think. I think you'll be surprised by some of the ways, so be sure to check that out if you haven't already. It was the latest to show that Trump's approval went up during the Democratic National Convention. Rasmussen reports had it at 51% at the end of the convention. It went up one day from 47% to 51% during the Democratic National Convention. It's what's supposed to happen is that during the DNC, they get a bump. During the RNC, the Republicans get a bump. It's not how it has worked this way, ladies and gentlemen. In a shock from past election years, Joe Biden got no convention poll bounce, according to a newly released Reuters Ipsos poll. That's not a Breitbart poll. It's not a Rasmussen poll. That's a Reuters poll. The Republican National Convention still has 2 days to go. Pollsters have been somewhat at a loss to explain the rise of Trump's approval ratings, considering that there has been little positive news to help his standings other than the peace deal he helped negotiate between Israel and the UAE. I don't know about that, but that's their take. Zogby, in his analysis, took a stab at the reasoning. Now, this is, I think, very telling that Zogby is, which is not known to be a conservative, Republican-friendly polling outlet, took this view. He said, first, he said, his and other polls are confirming that the nation is nearly evenly divided politically and that despite some showing a big Biden lead, the race is extremely close. He suggested that the battle is for the, quote, 10 to 20% who haven't made their minds up on who to vote for and who likely won't make up their mind until Election Day, just like in 2016. Quote, we are polarized as a nation on a level not seen since the Civil War. Boy, ne'er truths e'er been spoken. He also said that the violence playing out in cities such as Kenosha, Wisconsin, and Portland, Oregon, are pushing urban voters to Trump. This is what I have been saying and thinking, and a lot of people have been saying and thinking, that there is no way that voters can look at what's going on, most voters at least, and endear themselves to the Democratic Party. And Zogby is even saying, not just any voters, not just suburban housewives, but urban dwellers as well are looking at this, seeing how only the Republicans are condemning it. The Democrats are ignoring it or praising it. And they see who really cares about them, who really has their back, who really, with Trump saying, look, I'll send in the National Guard, take care of it in 24 hours. Just ask. Which he's actually acting as a very strong constitutional conservative, a federalist who's leaving the power to the states. Apparently, Trump's a 10th Amendment guy. I mean, you know, Trump has surprised us in so many ways, but it's also a political calculation. By not sending in the National Guard, the people are continuing to see what the Democrats are really, truly about, which is chaos, mayhem, destruction, violence. And complete autocracy over this nation, because it's all for the purpose of power. Remember, BLM is a Marxist group. Their founder, one of their founders, admitted on video that they are trained Marxists. So they hate the USA, and they're exploiting black lives. They're exploiting the death of blacks in order to promote their revolution. We are in a fight for the soul of our nation. Make no mistake about it. He also said, pushing urban voters to Trump. Quote, another factor continuing to help the president's high approval rating is a rise in crime in our nation's biggest cities. Unlike a year ago, the president is performing well with voters in large cities. It's highly likely he is benefiting from the uptick in violence. His law and order message is resonating with urban voters at the moment. And then you have black leaders such as Kim Klasick just doing that viral video where she's walking through the streets of I believe it's Baltimore, that the Democrats have run for 50 years and just destroyed. The Republicans are making a strong push. I know I saw a headline, Malcolm the God. Malcolm the God. That's what this guy calls himself. Malcolm the God urges black voters to not vote Democrat. I'm sure he does. But I would highly recommend Malcolm the God strip himself of title the God and take the title Malcolm the Sinner in Need of God. How about that? Malcolm the sinner in need of God's grace. Are you really calling yourself a God? And you expect anybody to listen to a word that comes out of your mouth? Anyway. And he also suggested that Trump's focus on issues important to blacks, including the economy, jobs, and criminal justice reform, has boosted his support among the voting group that traditionally goes all in for Democratic presidential candidates. Quote, the president is also improving his job approval numbers with African Americans and millennial African Americans, which is a trend we witnessed last year. Trump has been making the case that he has done more for African American voters. Remember Pastor Daryl Scott saying Trump is the most pro-black president in history? By way of prison reform and previously low black unemployment than Kamala Harris and Joe Biden, both of whom have been accused by the president for increasing incarceration among African Americans for generations on nonviolent drug charges, said Zogby. So this is looking good for the president. It's looking good for the Republicans, which is looking good for the nation. UN won't act on U.S. efforts to snap back Iran sanctions, citing opposition from Security Council members. This is Courtney McBride from the Wall Street Journal. I got to flip it to the other side. The United Nations Security Council won't act on U.S. bid to reimpose multilateral sanctions against Iran, its president said Tuesday, following a near unanimous rejection by, of course, the despots and cowards on the UN Security Council of Washington standing to do so. 13 of the 15 members of the panel have said the U.S. can't reinstate the sanctions because it withdrew from the 2015 multilateral nuclear accord that provided that authority. Quote, it is clear for me that there is one member which has a particular position on the issues, while there are significant numbers of members who have contesting views, according to Ambassador Dion Chirancia Jani of the Human Rights Abusing to the Max Indonesia, president of the council this month, who said he wouldn't take further action on the U.S. push. We'll see about that. The U.S. hasn't said what its next move will be, though some diplomats speculate that the U.S. could pressure Niger, which holds the rotating presidency in September, to take action. Now, this isn't over, folks. This isn't over, as I shared last week from the Wall Street Journal. Editorial board did a great piece on it. You can find it at cgmradio.com. It's linked there. But along with all of these articles and videos that we're sharing today. But apparently, the way that the Obama administration set it up is that the snapback option is not part of the nuclear deal. The snapback option, where the U.S. is able to put all of these sanctions before the 2015 JCPOA disaster, the nuclear deal, all of the sanctions before the 2015 nuclear deal, they're able to take that and put it and basically snap them all back. And you actually don't have to be, it's actually not part of the JCPOA. It's independent of that. And even though the other member nations of the UN Security Council can issue resolutions against it, the U.S. Can veto it. And basically, they have the power to bring all the sanctions back on Iran. Of course, this stuff takes time. According to the U.S. position, Mr. Pompeo's notification Thursday started a 10-day period during which members of the 15-nation council may introduce a resolution voiding the U.S. request. The U.S. would then veto the resolution, and the sanctions would return to force 30 days after the initial U.S. notification. So he's like, okay, we're snapping these sanctions back. We've alerted the Security Council. Iran has broken the deal. So then there's a 10-day period in which members of the council can introduce a resolution that voids the U.S. request, and then the U.S. just vetoes all those resolutions. And then the sanctions would return 30 days after the initial U.S. notification, which they did last Thursday. So that's what's going on with that. We'll, of course, keep you guys informed on what is going on there. Historic Kushner and others to travel aboard first commercial flight from Israel to UAE. This is from the Washington Examiner. Jared Kushner will be among a delegation of U.S. officials who will travel from Israel to the UAE in the first commercial flight between the two Middle Eastern countries, if you recall. If this is your first time listening, I've talked about this somewhat extensively last week when I was in the Gulf Shores, Alabama area on my vacation. Was able to pop out a show, but basically there was a historic deal that happened between Israel and the UAE, which basically formalized diplomatic ties between the two to where essentially the UAE became the third Arab nation in history, the first being Egypt in 79, second being Jordan in 94, to recognize Israel's right to exist and to establish formal diplomatic ties. And now we get this. Those aboard the flight will include Kushner, who is a senior White House advisor, National Security Advisor Robert O'Brien, outgoing Iran envoy Brian Hook, and the State Department's Middle East envoy Avi Berkowitz, a senior official told The Examiner. The move comes after the historic agreement between Israel and the UAE, and of course, and it goes to all of that. So stuff is happening. I know that I did see that there was some scuttles between Israel and the UAE on how certain things are going to be worked out. That's completely expected. But for now, with the first commercial flight direct from Israel to the UAE, stuff's happening. And the UAE, I'm sure, is very excited about the economic activity that's going to be happening as a result. Okay, we're going to hit some headlines from around the world. It's very difficult to, this is world news, and it's very difficult to go through story after story after story in depth, but I want to more and more be able to give you guys a broader view of what's going on in the world, and I feel like hitting the headlines is a great way to do it. I can't go in depth on all of this. Time just does not allow it. But I encourage you, this is courtesy of the FDD Overnight Brief. So this is the Hitting the Headlines Brief. Let's start with America First. A Wisconsin mother of seven accused of hacking Facebook accounts to provide support to the Islamic State was sentenced to more than 7 years in prison, federal prosecutors said Tuesday. Wisconsin mother of seven. So it's not just Kenosha, Wisconsin, that's dealing with severe issues. This is a big problem. And 7 years in prison to provide support for the Islamic State? How about complete deportation to the Islamic State? This is absolute treason on so many levels. Iran. Rafael Grossi, the chief of the IAEA, said on Tuesday during his visit to Iran that the agency is working on reaching an agreement on the nuclear watchdog's oversight capabilities in Iran, of course, correcting the problem from the beginning of the JCPOA that inspectors were not able to inspect certain sites. Iran vowed to expand its cooperation with the IAEA inspectors weeks after being rebuked by the body for failing to provide access to two sites suspected of hosting past nuclear activity. We'll see if they follow through on that. Turkey, Greece. German Foreign Minister Heiko Maas appealed to NATO allies Greece and Turkey on Tuesday to enter a dialogue and de-escalate military tensions in the eastern Mediterranean, warning of an, quote, abyss if their dispute is not resolved peacefully. There is a dispute between the two of them over areas of water in the eastern Mediterranean. And neither side appears to be backing down, which is pretty cool for Greece. I am not a fan. I love the Turkish people, but I'm not a fan of the man in charge. Israel. The Israeli military said it exchanged fire with Hezbollah fighters along the Lebanese border late Tuesday, a flare-up of recent tensions that led authorities to temporarily close roads and order residents of nearby communities to stay in their homes. There were no casualties among its forces, the military said. So, as we've seen, more and more of Hamas has been taking over the Lebanon government. This is terrible for Lebanon. It's terrible for Israel. And we're seeing Hezbollah fighters actually attacking Israel. This is a problem. Israeli warplanes bombed targets in the Gaza Strip early on Wednesday in response to Palestinians and the enclave launching incendiary balloons toward Israel, the military said. Now, it can almost sound benign, you know, these balloons, they're launching balloons. It's like from a, you know, a kid's birthday party or something like that. These are Hamas balloons, kids. Yeah, Hamas balloons that set thousands of acres of Israeli forest on fire. So if you are an environmentalist at all, you should not be a fan of Hamas. Regional coordination and the Palestinian-Israeli conflict were the central topics at a trilateral summit between Jordan, Egypt, and Iraq on Tuesday. Jordan's King Abdullah II, Iraqi Prime Minister Mustafa al-Kadhimi, and Egyptian President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi, quote, reaffirmed the centrality of the Palestinian cause at the summit, stressing that the conflict must be removed according to international law, UN resolutions, and the Arab Peace Initiative. Yes, international law. How about that international law that originally gave Israel all of what we know today as Israel, Judea, Samaria, Gaza Strip, and Jordan? Remember that? We don't need to go back to the 1922 San Remo Conference. The past is the past. North Korea, a new mystery submarine has been spotted in satellite photographs taking off a North Korean shipyard amid recent reports that the Hermit Kingdom has been building a submersible that can launch nukes, according to a report. That is comforting. Not only that, but remember, Kim Jong-un, according to a South Korean lawmaker, is apparently in a coma, and his sister, Kim Yo-jung, I think her name is in charge. Of course, the media loved Kim Jo-young when she was over here for the Olympics and trashed Ivanka Trump because they love dictators and they hate freedom. China. The Trump administration is considering officially classifying the treatment of China's Uyghur Muslim minority by the Chinese government as a genocide, two administration officials told Politico. Yes, the Uyghurs, they have been detaining Uyghur Muslims. They have been harvesting their organs. This is horrific, horrific. Please remember the Uyghurs in your prayers, that through this, they are physically rescued and they are spiritually rescued. This is an abomination beyond belief. It's actually not that far from what Planned Parenthood is doing here, selling baby body parts after they are murdered. Two Hong Kong opposition politicians known for protesting against the city's China-backed administration were among 16 people arrested on Wednesday, according to police, in the latest blow to the pro-democracy movement. Vietnam on Wednesday accused China of violating its sovereignty by conducting military drills in a disputed part of the South China Sea and said Beijing's actions were, quote, complicating negotiations on establishing a code of conduct in the region. Numerous Chinese and U.S. military exercises, Taiwan missiles tracking Chinese fighters, and plummeting China-U.S. ties make for a heady cocktail of tension that is raising fears of conflict, touched off by a crisis over Taiwan. The China communists are not backing down. They want dominance over anywhere and everywhere. The South China Sea is huge. For China, for dominance economically. They are not a fan of Taiwan's or Hong Kong's independence whatsoever. So we will see and continue to monitor. Afghanistan, Taliban insurgents set off a truck bomb on Tuesday in an attack on Afghan army commandos, killing three people and wounding 41, the defense ministry said, despite steps toward peace talks with the U.S. backed government. As we reported yesterday, there are negotiations going on right now between the Taliban and Afghanistan, holding these talks in Pakistan. And the Taliban just can't help themselves. Terrorists gonna do what terrorists gonna do. It's sad that they can't even withhold the bloodshed during the negotiations, which does not give me much hope. But as I said in yesterday's show, I hope I'm wrong. Russia, the Kremlin said it had no involvement in the sudden illness of Russian dissident Alexei Navalny and questioned the assertion by German doctors that he was poisoned, pushing back against demands from Western leaders for an inquiry into the latest suspected attack against a critic of President Vladimir Putin. Yeah, I'm sure Vladimir... Look, I'm not God. I don't know if the Russians actually did it. I would not be surprised. God knows. Pray for Russia. And Europe. Deputy Secretary of State Steve Bagon met with Belarusian opposition leader Svetlana... Whoa, what is that last name? Tikhanovskaya? Tikhanovskaya? I don't know, but you gotta love these Eastern Bloc names. You gotta love them. At the outset of a trip that could see the U.S. take a significant role in a political eruption that threatens one of Russia's closest allies. The last dictator. They call this man Europe's last dictator. The man who is in charge of Belarus, right there on the border of Russia. And I don't have his name in front of me. I forget his name. But the Belarusian people are extremely upset. This guy's been in power forever. He keeps seizing power. And it looks like the Trump administration, just like Reagan, was pro-freedom and worked with other countries around the world to help promote freedom. It looks like Trump and his administration is going to be doing the same thing in Belarus. And every country that becomes a free country makes it more likely that other countries become free countries. This is good news. I realize Thomas Jefferson gets a bad rap these days, and it's been an issue for a long time. He was a slave owner. However, let's say 100 years from now, everybody agrees that abortion is the gruesome, barbaric practice. It truly is. Should we look back on Barack Obama 100 years earlier with the same disdain as a politician 100 years from now? Looks on it, right? We know better, but there were a lot of people who were pro-slavery, and it's the ultimate irony that a man who did own slaves wrote the Declaration of Independence and wrote so eloquently about freedom. And what it shows is human frailty. It shows human sinfulness. Humans, a commitment to an idea doesn't always match up their lifestyle. However, interestingly, he set the framework by which the slaves could eventually be freed. And so it is very important, and nobody knows how to do this. It's like all the founders were supposed to have the same ideals of the most woke leftist radicals of 2020. It's insane. I mean, by their standards, there's Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, even is not good enough and should have statues torn down. It's insane. So I hate that I have to give that disclaimer before the quote of the week being by Thomas Jefferson, but this guy was brilliant. I mean, brilliant politically. The fact that he was chosen to write the Declaration and the fact that he was a part of the Constitutional Convention and creating the nation that we have today is truly, truly remarkable. And his words are worth listening to. So for Wisdom Wednesday quote of the week, I wanted to share something that Thomas Jefferson wrote. I love reading primary source documents from our founders. It is just fascinating. I highly encourage you to do it. A great site for that is David Barton's Wall Builders site. I didn't get this off of his site, But just look up David Barton Wall Builders. I think it's wallbuilders.com. And he has so many great primary source documents and letters and so forth. It's very interesting. But this was a letter that Thomas Jefferson wrote in response to William Charles Jarvis. This was September 28th, 1820. Now, William Charles Jarvis, he was an American diplomat, merchant. He's actually best known for bringing the Merino breed of sheep to America from Spain. So, you know, we all make our mark on the world one way or another, and apparently Merino sheep coming to America was this guy's mark, not to mention the fact that he was an American diplomat, privileged enough that he would exchange letters with Thomas Jefferson. But what they're talking about is something that conservatives are very concerned about, and that is the power of the judiciary. That the judiciary has gotten out of control. Specifically, the Supreme Court has become too powerful. Well, this isn't an idea that's anything new, and it isn't an idea that escaped the founders. They were concerned about this as well. So here's what Jefferson wrote. "I feel an urgency to note what I deem an error in it," that is the letter that he received from William Jarvis, "the more requiring notice, as your opinion is strengthened by that of many others. You seem in pages 84 and 148 to consider the judges as the ultimate arbiters of all constitutional questions, a very dangerous doctrine indeed, and one which would place us under the despotism of an oligarchy." Wow. "Our judges are as honest as other men, and not more so. They have, with others, the same passions for party, for power, and the privileges of their courts. Their maxim is, boni judicis est ampliari jurisdictionem, which means it is the part of a good judge to enlarge his jurisdiction." That's their maxim. It is the part of a good judge to enlarge his jurisdiction. "And their power, the more dangerous, as they are, an office for life, and not responsible, as the other functionaries are, to the elective control. The Constitution has erected no such single tribunal, knowing that, to whatever hands confide it, with the corruptions of time and party, its members would become despots." Now, there's much more here. I encourage you, feel free to hit back on your podcast. Go back 30 seconds, go back a minute, and listen to that again. Or you can go to cgmradio.com, and it is there on the front page. You can click and read the whole letter. But I encourage you to at least go back, listen to that again. This is extremely important. And this is how he ends the letter. So what's the solution? What is his solution to the judiciary becoming too powerful? Making Congress more powerful? Making the president more powerful? No, this is Thomas Jefferson. Okay, this isn't Alexander Hamilton. This is Thomas Jefferson. Quote, "I know no safe depository of the ultimate powers of the society, but the people themselves. And if we think them not enlightened enough to exercise their control with a wholesome discretion, the remedy is not to take it from them, but to inform their discretion by education. This is the true corrective of abuses of constitutional power. Pardon me, sir, for the difference of opinion. My personal interest in such questions is entirely extinct, but not my wishes for the longest possible continuance of our government on its pure principles. If the three powers maintain their mutual independence on each other, it may last long, but not so if either can assume the authorities of the other. I ask your candid reconsideration of this subject, and am sufficiently sure you will form a candid conclusion. Accept the assurance of my great respect. Thomas Jefferson, September 28th, 1820. And that will do it for today's edition of World News Brief by CGM Radio. Thank you for joining us. As always, subscribe by searching World News CGM on your favorite podcasting app, or you can go to cgmradio.com/world. Also, all the articles and videos, links to everything is up at cgmradio.com. Be sure to check that out and email me, world@cgmradio.com, with comments, questions, news tips, and anything you would like. Have an incredible Wednesday. We'll see you tomorrow, and may His kingdom come, and His will be done on earth as it is in heaven.